This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. If you need any more information, head to FUBARradio.com.
Callum McSwiggan on FUBAR Radio.
Welcome back to the Callum McSwiggan Show. Today, I am joined by an amazing comedy duo. I am joined by the lovely, lovely Ruby and Rachel. And together, you are Shelf Comedy?
Just Shelf.
Well, welcome on the show, guys. I really want to talk to you guys today about... I know you're doing so much for LGBT plus comedians out there. So tell me a little bit about how you got into comedy and then, I guess, how you veered into... you know, being representative yourselves, but also, you know, trying to raise other performers.
Cool. So we started sort of, I started doing comedy at uni, and Ruby came to see one of my sketch shows, and she was like, this is bad. Do comedy with me, and it'll be so much better.
It was.
It has been so much better doing it with Ruby. So that's kind of how it sort of started. And back then, only one of us was out.
Yes, which
one? I'm really...
Only Rachel was out.
Yeah, Rachel has always been out from the womb. I wasn't until I was like 21, I think. Then finally went the whole hog and admitted to it. But so then I guess that definitely changed like how we were as an act a lot. Before that, we hadn't really talked about personal stuff very much.
Yeah, I think once you're like once I think once both halves of a double act are both gay, that's twice as much gay as people are expecting in a double act.
Yes,
and I think you're kind of forced to be representatives now. It's like there's too much gay in this act for you not to start representing something.
Absolutely,
is kind of what happened as Ruby came out, because we'd had a year doing Shelf where only I was out. And then obviously Ruby came out, and then we were like, "Woo, let's do gay gigs."
And was it Rachel that kind of helped you and pushed you towards coming out, or was it just kind of your own?
I feel like if anything, you were against it.
I was the gay one. That was my thing.
Yeah, you've ruined the dynamic.
Exactly.
You've thrown it off.
The last thing I wanted was us both to be gay, and then we had competition. I don't want competition. You know what I mean?
But yeah, no, I mean, in other ways, very supportive, good friend.
and how has the, I guess, the focus of your comedy changed since before you came out and then after you came out? And then I guess over the years, have you kind of leaned into that more? Do you make a lot of your jokes based in and around your sexuality?
I think, like, actually, if you like really look at our material, like not most of it is not about being gay, but people hear the gay stuff, like, you know, that's what sticks with people. But definitely, like, we weren't very personal, like, before we were both out, but once we were, we started talking so much more about, like, ourselves and our friendship on stage.
Yeah, and once you're talking personal, inevitably a lot of that is gay, because we were having gay relationships, dating gay people, being in queer friends, you know, all of that kind of stuff. So it kind of just happened almost like naturally that you just start talking about personal things.
I find it can be almost a little bit frustrating sometimes when you are, you know, you're just talking about yourself and you're not necessarily trying to put a gay slant on things, but like you say, inevitably that comes up, and I think you can often almost get shoehorned into a niche whether you want to or not. I know that was something that happened with myself online. I started creating content, and then it was quite quickly branded as gay content, and I was like, wait, hang on a minute, I wasn't trying to do that, I was just trying to be myself. And it kind of, and I'm okay to lean into that niche, but I know that for a lot of people out there, sometimes it shouldn't be the case, but sometimes if you are in an LGBT plus bracket, it can almost diminish your opportunities. Have you had any problems, or, you know, coming, it being in the industry, have you ever felt like your opportunities are lesser somehow because you are LGBT plus?
I feel like we're sort of kind of, I guess also because we are a double act and stuff, we are kind of immediately considered like alternative comedy. So we're sort of seen as a bit like, you know, more out there than a sort of a stand-up would be. And I think part of that's because we're queer. But no, I don't think it's held us back or anything.
Yeah, I think similarly to what you said about leaning into it, I think that like we have very much leaned into it. Mm-hmm. And like, as we'll probably talk about later, started like the LOL Word comedy, which was like exclusively for like queer women and mm-hmm. non-binary people. And so it was very much like we've very much taken the fact that we're two queer women in a double act and then gone, how can we add more queer women?
How can we make this more gay?
How can we get more of this? Like, we very much haven't gone, how can we make this less gay? We've gone, let's bring more gay into this double act. So I think we've definitely leaned into it. Leaned into it. Whatever. We've definitely done that. And I think that when you do, you always get more opportunities because you are saying, like, you're not trying to go for a straight, do you know what I mean? And the audience comes to you, which is really nice. And that's the best bit, is you get lovely little baby queers.
Oh, and are the audience predominantly LGBT plus, or do you get kind of a mixed bag?
For the LOL Word, definitely. For the gigs that we do, which is, you know, just around the scene and stuff, you know, just probably more straight. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, as Shelf, it's definitely more mixed. And we've definitely had like people who have, like, there was a couple of people in Edinburgh who came to see the LOL Word who liked Shelf and were like, oh, we loved it, we're straight white men, so we feel like we shouldn't have done, or we shouldn't be, but we loved
but
it.
But we did, yeah.
Which is really, really nice, because it becomes that thing of, it's like, it's just good comedy, it doesn't matter what your orientation is, mm-hmm. or anything like that.
Amazing. And tell me a little bit more about The Collective and how that came to be. You mentioned just that, yeah, The Collective.
The Coven.
You mentioned that you know, you were like, how can we make this more gay? But like, how did you even come to create it? Where did you start finding these other queer comedians? I know that there are an awful lot of queer comedians out there, but how did you start kind of collecting them for The Collective?
So I think we just started seeing them around, and it's like one of those things of, and I'm sure, like, maybe it's what happens with, like, straight white men and why there are so many of them in all the same places is that you go, oh, I find you really funny because you're talking about experiences I recognise and I'm familiar with. And so I think, like, we found ourselves, what, like a couple of years ago now? A year ago now?
A year ago.
A year ago now, sort of, like, basically, like, making so many more friends and a lot of them, like, up-and-coming young queer female comedians. And we were like, these guys are incredible and we love it, which was really, really nice.
Yeah, and, like, there's just no real sort of space for that, I guess, especially for, like, you know, newer comedians. Like, it's so hard to find a sort of comedy room that is a nice place to be. So, yeah, I think we just wanted to try to get people that we found funny together, and then more came out of that, basically.
I guess it does all go back to representation, and, you know, speaking about those shared experiences. I think often for, you know, your cis straight white man out there, they don't necessarily realize how important it is for us to not just see ourselves represented, but in some ways, sometimes if you really want to laugh at something, sometimes it really does need to be an experience that you understand. And I think there is a lack of appreciation for how important that is sometimes. I know if I see a gay man who's a comedian on stage, I know I relate a lot more to him than a straight man. And so I think it's amazing what you're doing. And yeah.
Thank you. I think they just don't realize that they get it all the time.
Yeah. Because there is that idea of, like you were saying before, about like being like, oh, the minute you talk about anything, you're just talking about your own like experiences or whatever. And then it's actually, it becomes, oh, that's gay. Whereas a straight person goes on stage and talks about dating, and it's like they're talking about dating, and it's like, well, we don't say, oh, there's another straight comedian. It's that kind of dynamic, I think.
Yeah. I feel like the Edinburgh Fringe as well is becoming very dominated by queer comedians, and I think that's absolutely amazing. You guys were there this year, right?
Yeah, we were.
Yeah, and how was that experience for you?
It was so good.
It was a really good year. Yeah,
it was fantastic.
Lawward picked up a lot of speed while we were there, which was great, and yeah, like the audience kind of came to us, which was lovely and such a change from the normal fight to make people come see you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it was so nice to have, we had a lot of like sort of like young queers and like people coming with their families or people coming in group, and it was that whole thing of like, it again, what we really wanted was it not to just be like, we wanted it to be good comedy as well. So it was like you enjoy it for it being good comedy, not just because everyone happens to share an orientation on stage. And that was really nice that we really got like people coming up and being like, I never thought I'd find something like this, or like, this is like my favourite show of the Fringe, or like, there's like, and it, I think because we're all friends that run it, there's also a vibe to it. It's not just a mixed bill, it's like, we're all friends, so you're coming into a little, like, that coven.
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I it must be heartwarming to see all your baby gays, I guess, coming in. And because I guess, you know, when you were younger, when I was younger, we had people that we looked up to, and now you have become those people. So, you know, setting a great example. All right, I think it's time we have a little bit of music. We're going to start the show with a little bit of Bubble Wrap by Oxygen. And this is actually the first time they are being played on the radio, so I believe they are listening in. So yeah, let's have a little bit of Bubble Wrap.
Yeah. Excited to be joined in the studio by Carl Faulkner of The View. Is there anyone who you literally just really got completely starstruck by, or like, is there anyone that you wish that you'd met?
I've met Paul McCartney. I was completely starstruck with my hand, mate.
Amazing.
I actually started crying and I had to go to the toilet and like get myself to go.
That is so cool.
Yeah. I was with Serge from Kasabian and the guy from the member band The Feeling.
Yeah, yeah.
I was with them and they were eating bowls of chili and I was like, stop being chilling, McCartney's in the room. No, really.
Every Wednesday. Joey Page. From 2 p.m.
FUBAR Radio.
All right, girls. Are you ready for a little bit of fun?
Yes.
Always.
Depending.
So I thought we'd play a little bit of porn or not porn.
My and specialty.
Because you guys are part of the LOL World comedy. LOL Word comedy, sorry. I thought we would do it themed on the L word this week.
It's going to be difficult because the L word was basically
porn. Basically
porn,
yeah.
Certainly my first porn.
So I have 5 clips here and we, together, I don't know the answers either, together we are going to try and figure out if they're from the L word or if they are from actual porn.
Ooh, awesome.
This is one of those ones where if we get it right, it's also embarrassing for how well we know the L word. Like, that's also embarrassing.
How many times have you watched it through? Too many.
I never finished it because stuff gets weird around season 5.
Yeah, I watched it in English and then I watched it again in Spanish in order to pass my Spanish GCSE.
Oh,
so it was the only way I would practice.
I watched Magic Mike in Italian once, so can kind of relate.
It's the way to go, honestly. It really adds something to your language learning.
All right, shall we jump right in with this?
Let's do it.
All right, okay. So our first porn or not porn is... Oh, straight in at the deep end there.
That was a quick one, yeah.
It was a very sharp, like a very sharp little
I think it's
gasp
probably the
there.
L word.
Do you?
Can you like name the
again?
Scene?
You can have it as many times as you like.
I think that's the L word. I'm going to go L word. It sounded gay.
Okay.
Sounded like Jenny.
Jenny?
Okay,
Jenny,
yeah, you're right. This game is embarrassing for you. Yeah, I think... L word too as well. It was dramatic, you know,
yeah.
And not in like the porn way. Porn's more screechy, I feel. Mm,
it depends on what porn, though, I guess.
To me, not that I've had an awful lot of lesbian sex, but
what?
It's
I figured you surely would have done.
It sounds very realistic to me.
Mm.
You know, I've never been there, but I just feel like this is everything I expected. You know,
that's definitely, maybe it's Alice actually. I changed my mind. I think it's Alice from the L-word.
Jenny, Alice.
Can we fact check? Because I really want to know how right she is.
Yes, we are going to fact check this. And I want you to decide, Jenny or Alice. Because
I'm
going to give you extra points.
Okay. Alice, the L-word.
Okay, so I think we're saying final answer. This is not porn. This is from the L-word. and you also believe that this is Alice. Answers, please. Not porn. Alice and Tasha. Congratulations.
Oh my God. All of the stereotypes are true.
I've just got a good ear for sex. Let's focus on that bit rather than the L word bit.
So that was Alice and Tasha having sex on the couch, which is overheard by another character called Jamie. Tasha was a super interesting part of the series due to her being a lesbian in the army and being discharged under Don't Ask, Don't Tell. They covered some deep stuff on the L word.
They did their best.
Good show. Yeah. It's really old now, though, isn't it? How old is it now?
Well, I watched it doing my GCSEs. That was the second time I watched it.
It's been more than 10 years.
Pretty old. Yeah,
quite a while back.
Yeah, quite a while back.
All right, I am a little bit worried to continue this game because
I didn't know that we could guess the scene as well, because I will be guessing the scene now. The season, the episode.
We'll see if I can guess the porn. If this happens.
All right, our next one is...
Why are you looking at me like that?
Ooh, why are you looking at
Jenny.
Me like that?
That is the
that's
L
Jenny
word.
That's Jenny from the L word.
Yeah.
Play it again.
Why are you looking at me like that?
Yeah, it's Jenny from the L word.
Yeah.
100%.
I'm just going to go with you. I can't.
I can't.
What do I think the scene was? Why are you looking at me like that? I think the scene was her with maybe Max? I'm going to go have his name Max.
Okay.
No, so. I think I'm going to challenge, actually, from the one season I remember, which is the first one. I bet it's Marina.
Oh, maybe Marina. Yeah. It could be Marina.
Is this completely inaccessible listening?
I'm very out of my depth. I'm Susan,
all you wanted
Chrissy.
Was porn, not porn. And we're like, okay, I think it was the moment when, and how she was feeling was tense and upset because she actually really upset her earlier in the season.
So I think we're saying not porn again, and we're saying who now? Who?
This is Jenny this
time. This is Jenny, and who do we think she's with? Or is she on her own?
She's maybe either talking to Marina.
Marina.
I think you might be right. I think it might be Marina.
Right. Something's Marina. Happening with Jenny and Marina. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Final answer. Not porn. Not porn. Jenny was in her bra.
It was Shane.
And Shane was staring at her from the bed. Jenny then tells her she needs to get laid or stop staring at her. Shane was on a sex ban because she was having too much sex. Poor Shane.
Yeah, but then she then sleeps with Jenny, so...
Oh. I didn't get that far.
Did you not? Oh, no. The last season was my favourite. And this is, again, so not the interest.
Welcome to the L word chat.
If you will bring on, we did make the lol word, so it's to be expected.
I feel like, I'm going to go a little bit serious for a minute, though, but I feel like this is such a example of how little representation we have, you know, because the L word is the only show, or exactly. One of the only shows that I could name that feature. Oh, Sugar Rush. It was Sugar Rush.
Love Sugar Rush.
But, you know, there's so few.
Let's get some Sugar Rush porn sounds.
We'll bring you back for a Sugar Round. Sugar Rush Round. All right, the next one is...
Very strong marketing.
Very strong marketing.
I hope that's porn.
Play it again, I think it might be.
Very strong marketing.
I think it's porn. It's too stilted a dialogue.
But it sounds a little bit like, what's her name, Sandra Bernard, who's in it? She played Jenny's teacher.
You're way, you're so too specific for also me now.
Play it again.
Very strong marketing.
I think it's the teacher from the L word speaking to Jenny. I think the actress. I always get confused between those Sandra Bernard and Sandra Bullock. I don't think it's
Sandra Bullock was definitely never in the
I don't, yeah, I don't think, even I know Sandra Bullock wasn't in it.
She was in Miss Congeniality.
Not that I'm an L word expert and I don't want to challenge you, but I'm getting strong porn vibes from this one.
Yeah, no, I'm with Callum.
That's fair. Maybe, I feel like we're due a porn one. Yeah. But just play it one more time.
Very strong marketing.
It just sounds like the woman from the teacher from. I'm embarrassing myself.
I'm going to let you guys decide. I am not being the deciding person here. Are we saying porn or are we saying not porn?
I'm going to say porn.
Go on. I've got my inkling. But I think that I might be in too deep. So.
Okay, so reluctantly we're saying porn.
Yeah, reluctantly saying porn.
I hope we're getting this right.
Hey.
Porn, yes! This is getting anally drilled by office boss. And she was talking about the marketing plan with her boss, and then the anal drilling, I suppose.
What other kind of boss is that?
Anally right. drilled. What a phrase.
Our next one is...
It's great like that.
No, that's porn, 100%.
Perfect. It's great like that.
It's great like that.
Yeah, that's porn.
Yeah, I think,
Yeah?
Sounds I think porn, yeah. Play it one more time.
It's great like that.
I also think porn.
Yeah.
Think
porn.
Something about the sound quality, you know?
I know what you mean, yeah.
You know?
That's such a technical view. So I'm here, like, scrolling through, like, my, like, what's the word, those things, those, like, in my brain.
Memory?
Just, like, running.
Those things in your brain.
Memories. Trying to think of episodes of the L Word, and you're just here, like... Sound quality, I'd say.
Yeah, I think we're saying porn on this one. Porn!
Hey.
Hard fuck from stepmom. Woman and her husband were on a family camping trip, which resulted in the stepmom and woman fucking in a hot tub.
Oh, I am confused by the plot of that one.
Me too. Like, why is there a hot tub on a camping trip? It's plot holes.
It's a fancy camping trip, that's for sure. Not like anyone I've ever been on.
They're pluralising women a lot. It's just exactly how many women are there?
Yeah, there's a lot of women happening here. Very confused. Well, it sounds like everyone had a good time. Yeah. That's what matters.
That's the main thing.
All right, have we got... We're 4-4, right?
Yeah.
Yes, because I was overruled, thank
you. You were overruled. All right, our final one. And I think we can get 5 out of 5 on this.
Okay.
I really, really do.
No
I believe
pressure.
In us. Let's do it.
Just don't drop the soap.
Just don't drop the soap.
I think it might be a joke line from the old world.
Yeah, I think it's a tricksy one.
Did anyone ever go to prison?
Yes, Helena went to Helena went to prison in season. And she
Jesus
was four.
Christ!
Why are we laughing at this woman going to prison?
I'm just laughing at
my knowledge of the other world. It's so embarrassing. And now I've committed now.
Yeah, no, I think you're right though.
I think that's the L word. I think it's we're gonna guess who's saying it to Helena. Play
Do you want it? Yeah. Okay. Here you go.
Just don't drop the soap.
That's Alice, I think.
Do you think it's Alice?
I think it's Alice.
I think it might be Alice. Play it one more time.
You just don't drop the soap.
I don't know if it is Alice.
You realise this game is porn or not porn, not guess the specific character from the L Word.
Yes. Well, that's
either way we won.
Everyone's a winner today.
I'm going to give it you one more time, okay. So listen very, very carefully.
Just don't drop the soap.
Just the way she said soap just doesn't remind me of that.
I think can we just see the answer?
So we know it's not porn. We know it's the L word.
Okay.
We're going to be so embarrassed if it's now porn.
What if it is? What if this is like a major double bluff?
It could be such a double bluff. What if it's a line from both porn and the L word? Like, I'm sure there are crossover lines.
Do you guys have trick questions? Or
no, okay. We have never had it. What, like,
your
L
eyes
word?
Are saying something completely different.
Have you, like, an L word
porno? Yeah.
Then that would be classed as porn.
Tricky.
I think we're saying this is not porn and we're saying this is from the L word.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, final answer. Scores on the doors. Yes, this is not porn. Alice, Tina and Shane visit Helena in jail.
But who said it? Why don't we know who said it?
Well, it's Alice, Tina or Shane.
That doesn't help. I was thinking it's either Alice, Tina or Shane.
I was going to say we did really well, but I feel like I just sat here and watched you two do very well. And when I say you two, I mean Rachel.
I do not think that could be classed as doing very well. I think that shows too much how much time
that
shows I had.
A lonesome child. <isn't>
In a big way, yeah.
In a little bit, we are going to be reacting to your sex confessions. So if you would like to send those in, you can do that anonymously by emailing callum@fubarradio.com. We're going to have a little bit more music, and then we're going to be joined by the amazing Ben de la Creme. So I think let's have a little bit of Emily Burns' Test Drive.
I never normally check my phone 10 times in a minute. I'm not the girl to be kept on hold 10 miles from the finish. But you got me losing all my cool. Somehow I've given up all control. I'm not shy to admit it. Cause I don't really mind, just don't make me your test drive for the weekend. Cause I'm looking for just a little more than a joyride in the evening. Don't need to run around town with you every night. You can pick me up whenever you like. Cause I don't really mind, just don't make me your test drive for the weekend. To regret it, wanting me to keep up my guard, but each time I forget it. Cause girl, they don't know you like I do. I see a different side to you. Cause I don't really mind, just don't make me your test drive for the weekend. Cause I'm looking for just a little more than a joyride in the evening. Run around town with you every night. You can pick me up whenever you like. Cause I don't really mind, just don't make me your test drive for the weekend. This is not normal, I hear them calling. It's a bit out of character for me. Fuck what they're saying, my mind ain't changing. Wait it all up and I know the dangers. No, I got you, I know you can be the soul that we need. We're running on fumes, I know I won't let you go. Cause I don't really mind, just don't make me your test drive for the weekend. Cause I'm looking for just a little more than a joyride in the evening. Don't need to run around town with you every night. You can pick me up whenever you like. Cause I don't really mind, just don't make me your test drive for the weekend.
We are now joined by the wonderful, the lovely Ben de la Creme. How are you doing?
Hello, I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Really, really great. It's so great to have you on the show. I'm joined here in the studio by the amazing comedy duo Ruby and Rachel.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
And you prefer Dayla, right?
Oh, you can call me whatever you want. Whatever you drag, I generally go by Dayla, but... I guess I won't tell you whether at 10:30 a.m. here I'm in drag or not. I'll leave that up to the imagination.
Sure. I wanted to start this off by saying that, you know, in my heart, you are the winner of Drag Race, of all of Drag Race. I just think you were absolutely outstanding on the show and you won so many challenges. And I just think that you stepping down to let other queens, you know, to celebrate them, it was an amazing thing. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk about today, because... Ruby and Rachel here, they do so much to kind of raise up other people within the community. And I really wanted to talk about, I guess, you know, how the community really does come together and how we do raise each other up. So I want to know your thought process behind, you know, why you did step down when you did to let the other queens, you know, have their moment.
Yeah, you know, I mean, the thing is, for me, going on Drag Race, obviously... You know, my first time around was season 6. I was, God, at this point, 5 years ago or something.
Yeah.
And Drag Race is such an incredible stepping stone for an art form that I love. And I've been doing drag for almost 16 years now. And so, you know, I've been really dedicated to it since before Drag Race was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so I totally love that Drag Race is exposing the world to this art form that I love. And I'm so happy that all these people get platforms. But, you know, the competitive aspect has never been my favorite part of it. You know, I just like to watch people be good at stuff. So, you know, I had this kind of very unique opportunity when I was on All Stars. I never expected to do as well as I did. And, you know, after getting to, like, break a few records, which I'm very proud of, I just realized that there was... It didn't seem like there was anything more I was going to get from a crown. I felt like I'd proved myself. And you know, it was, I had a lot of conflict when I was first going on the show, because the All-Stars format is so much more about, you know, because you have to eliminate other queens, it's sort of more of a conundrum than the regular format. So I just realized in this moment that because I'd done so well, and kind of because I'd been conflicted about it, I had a wonderful opportunity to kind of have both experiences, where I could sort of, you know, show what I wanted to show and do what I came there to do, and also not get in the way of these other performers.
I really, really think it's incredible. And I think by doing that as well, it was such a good... You know, I think sometimes there can be a massive misconception that a lot of drag queens can be very bitchy and very catty and, like, overly competitive. And that's not been my experience of drag ever. You know, going out onto the gay scene as a young gay man, it was always the drag queens who almost acted as, like, the hostesses of the gay community and were always so welcoming and supportive. And I think seeing you do that on the show, you were... You know, it really brought that back and showed that, you know, we are a community and we are one and we are together, and it's not competitive, and we are all just trying to raise each other up.
Yeah, you know, so many of the drag... I mean, certainly there are queens out there who are bitchy and catty, and that's okay too, you know? Like, the same way that, you know, any community, you certainly can't expect everyone to be the same person. But the queens that always inspired me growing up, you know, in the community, were, you know, sort of, you know, especially at the time when, you know, things were less in the public eye, and certainly acceptance was not as universal. You know, it was, you know, there were a lot of, you know, you look at the people in the gay bars, and a lot of them, and I'm not talking about the queen so much, a lot of them can be a little catty and bitchy at the time. And I think a lot of that is sort of paying pain forward, you know? We grow up being told we're not good enough. And I would see this shift when certain queens walk in the room, and it was sort of this motherly thing where these people who didn't necessarily feel like they had the you know, I mean, certainly this isn't true of everyone, but a lot of people didn't have the love and acceptance they needed from their families or their communities. And so these queens could walk in and be sort of a maternal figure that allowed them to feel love. And I would see those people who could be a little negative toward each other, I would see that melt away, because these queens gave them a sense of belonging and a sense that who they were was okay. And that's what really inspired me.
I think that's so, so important. You touched on, you know, TV and things there. And I just kind of want to talk about representation as well, because we were just playing a game here in the studio where the L word came up a lot. And we were talking about kind of like how important it is to have representation on screen. And obviously Drag Race and Queer Eye as well have just won a load of Emmys. And, you know, I think shows like that are really so important to LGBT plus youth. I know that if when I was growing up, there were shows out there like that, that it would have really showed me that it was okay to be who I was and really helped me come into my own. So and I can't imagine what that must feel like for you to be a part of that, because obviously you were on the show and then you came back to do All Stars. So, you know, you're such a huge part of that.
Yeah, you know, I think about that all the time with, you know, the fact that part of my, you know, reasoning for going back was because it is this opportunity to be, you know, to be this public figure that I needed when I was that age, you know, and we all get to contribute in our own ways. All the different queens on there bring something different to it, but I know that some of what I have, you know, tried to represent and tried to speak out about has really resonated with a lot of people, and I get to hear it everywhere I go from young people that it means something to them, and that's so exciting to me because I needed that. I was a very unhappy kid, and I didn't see myself represented anywhere. So, you know, I think a lot about, you know, if I could travel back in time and tell my, you know, 13-year-old self, hey, this is who you get to be when you grow up, I would have had such a different experience of my teen years. And so in some way, I feel like I get to, you know, see all these young kids, and they get to see me, and I get to say, hey, this is who you could grow up to be. If you want to, you can do anything you want. And I hope that that's the message that they get, is that, you know, whether drag inspires them or anything else, you can make your own life. You can choose your own path.
Yeah. I think it's, you're setting an amazing and an incredible example. And the other thing I wanted to ask you about as well is kind of the behind the scenes stuff, you know, because we so often we get to see our queens, you know, fully produced. And I guess Drag Race is a little bit of a peek behind the curtain. It gets to see a little bit more of the reality of it. But at the same time, you know, I know that you direct and produce your own shows, and the amount of work and creativity and talent that goes into that, and you girls as well, you must know, you know, the amount of work that people just come to your shows and they see you on stage and they see you perform, but
they do not see the tears.
They don't see the tears.
Yeah.
I would love to see more of that, and I would love more people to understand, you know, the art of comedy for you guys, but also the art of drag and what an art form it is, and what a real talent it is, because it can't be an easy thing to do.
Yeah, you know, I mean, certainly, yeah, I'm sure that you two as comedians can relate, you know, because, you know, my shows are, you know, the language I work in is comedy and camp, but, you know, I really try to also infuse all of my shows with, you know, with messages, and, you know, I try not to do it in a heavy-handed way, but I think comedy is a great gateway to kind of open people up to ideas, because if they laugh, then they're ready to receive, you know, new thoughts. But yeah, it's a ton of work, but I think there's a little bit of magic to the way that, you know, like, certainly the artistic process is fascinating, but also when you just get to step into a space and see what, you know, any artist or performer of any kind has created, there's something that gets to lift you out of reality a little bit. And I think that there's some sort of magic about not understanding quite how it happens, you know, and in that too, it's a little bit of, it can lift you out of reality in a way that, that can also open you up to new ideas. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, especially the kind of drag I do is so not based in reality. I mean, Ben de la Creme would never be a human walking down the street. I think we're more in the Muppet or a cartoon, you know?
Yeah.
And so I think there's something really special about that, as, you know, there being a character who just could not exist in real life, and yet here you are with her.
Yeah, I absolutely love that, and I you know, I absolutely agree with everything you're saying. It's escapism. It's a moment for us to get out of reality, but, you know, there is always that underlying message of, you know, challenging gender norms and, you know, challenging heteronormative ideas and things like that. And I think it's, you know, it's political and it's fun, and it manages to do both of those things at the same time. And I think there are very few things in this world that actually achieve that. So yeah, I really do think it's great. I know that you have some upcoming shows and that you're traveling around a lot performing at the minute. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
I do, yeah. Actually, I've been pretty breakneck on the road this past 9 months, so I'm very excited because I actually get to settle down in Seattle for a little while these coming months, because I have a Halloween show here, and it's actually the first sort of big, you know, full cast play that I've fully written and directed on my own. So, so we'll run that all of October, and it's based on kind of old 1960s haunted house films, you know, where the plot of every movie is that a bunch of unwitting strangers find themselves in a mysterious house with a dark secret. So, you know, it's a sort of piece of, you know, pastiche camp kind of thing, but we've got, you know, I also come from the burlesque world and the cabaret world, so, you know, of course, all the witches and vampires and werewolves and things, of course, all, you know, operate through dance, and, you know, if a werewolf has to transform, then it's, you know, it's going to be a striptease, that kind of thing.
That sounds incredible. It sounds wonderfully camp.
Yeah, sounds great.
It's really fun. This will be our second year doing it. We sold out last year, and so we've added a bunch of shows, and it's a cast I've been working with for years, and I just adore getting to be home and work with people I love, so.
Amazing.
And then in December, actually, Jinx Monsoon and I are working on a new Christmas project, and we're going to be touring the States with a new Christmas show. We actually haven't officially announced it yet, but it's going to be called To Jesus, Thanks for Everything, Jinx and De La. So we're getting ready in the next week or two to announce all the U.S. cities, and, you know, I'm super excited about it because Jinx and I, again, have been working together for 10 years at this point before either of us were on Drag Race. And so this is our first opportunity to do something just the two of us since we've both been on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully if it goes well, we'll get to, you know, travel outside of the States next year.
Right. So it sounds incredible, and I'm sure I wish you all the success of it. And I just know that it's going to do really, really well. It sounds amazing. If people already aren't following you all over social media, which they absolutely need to be, where can they do that?
Yeah, well, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, all just at Ben De La Creme. And, you know, all my tour schedule and everything is up at bendelacreme.com if anybody's looking for that.
Amazing. Well, you've been an absolute pleasure to talk to. Thank you so, so much for coming on
you
the
too.
Show.
You too. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. And I wish you all the best with the shows.
You too. All right. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye. All right.
I was always there for you all. I was always on time, and I gave you my all. So now you call, I decline, and I don't know about you, but I know I'm gonna be fine. And I gave you my all. So now you call. Now you think that you're sick when you're running. Now you're bailing on my line like an ambulance. Say from alum, I'm done with it. No, a 999, no emergency. Baby, nah, no, I'm missing you. I'ma block you soon, you're a bugaboo, baby. But come available. And I know I'm gonna find myself a better you. Brace yourself, cause you need me. Going all out, cause you need the freak. The ship is on sail, I don't need you be. Now you had a good boy, yeah, baby. I was always there for you all. I was always on time, and I gave you my all. So now you call, I decline, and I don't know about you, but I know I'm gonna be fine. And I gave you my all. So now you call, I decline, nah, baby. You don't get to blame me, nah, baby. Oh, when you call, I decline.
Wait, hear me now. Beyonce said irreplaceable. I was holding up, begging you. You asked, mother, what you play me for? Now you say stop, cause you need me. Going all out, cause you need the freak. The ship is on sale, I don't need your bee. Now you had a good boy, yeah, baby. And I was always there for you, oh. I was always on time, and I gave you my all. So now you call, I decline, and I don't know about you, but I know I'm gonna be fine. And I gave you my all. So now you call, I decline. Thought it'd been me with a call. Just wanna say I'm sorry. I'm not gonna lie and say that I'm not been acting funny. But you can do it again. Guess I'ma leave you hanging. Give me one try, one try. You'll never regret, baby. I was always there for you, oh. I was always on time, and I gave you my all. So now you call, I decline, and I don't know about you, but I know I'm gonna be fine. And I gave you my all. So now you call, I decline, nah, baby. You don't get to
you
blame
don't get
me.
To blame me,
well, nah, baby. Oh,
I was
when you call,
there when
I decline.
You
R.P. in a minute. You gon' shh when I talk, let me finish. Getting all dressed up, I'ma kill it. You can move over there, yeah. I'ma be R.P. in a minute. You gon' shh when I talk, let me finish. Well, you go get gone, I'ma get it. You can move over there, yeah. Ah.
That was the amazing Andrea Giovanni Decline. We had Andrea on the show before, and he was such a little angel. So it's always, always great to play his music. We are going to be reacting to your sex confessions now. So thank you so much to everyone who has sent one in. I think we should just jump right into this.
Absolutely, yeah.
Ruby, would you like to read the first one for me?
I would love to. I really like choking my partners during sex. I'm quite dominant. I really enjoy having power.
No wrong.
Okay, we're on it.
I really quite like that. I like a little bit of a slap and tickle.
I think a little bit choking between.
A little bit of choking is nice.
A
you
friendly
know.
Choke.
Yes. Absolutely.
As long as you're being careful, as long as you're being safe, then I think it's all above board.
Yeah, as long as it's all consensual.
That's
what the power plays. That like power plays the best bit. Yeah.
And that's always my motto, you know. If it's between adults who are consenting, go for it.
Exactly.
Go for it. Have fun. Yeah. Have the best time of your life. This next one is for you, Rachel. If you can read that from over there.
Cool. This one is I had sex with two different boys at the same party. I discovered they're best friends the next day.
Dude.
Less true of me, that one. Less true of me.
This one's more true of me. I find I always hear stories like this. There's always somebody going to a party and then they hook up with somebody, and there's often people's brothers and fathers and all sorts involved. And I just never understand why this isn't happening to me. You know?
That's your main criticism. Is, where was I?
Where am I when this happened?
Why was I not invited?
My
I go
invitation.
To so many parties. This doesn't happen at any of them.
And I don't think I've ever gone to a party and had sex with two different people.
I don't think I have the energy. You know?
That sounds exhausting.
Yeah.
Sounds like fun, but a lot of effort, a lot of work.
I really want to know, like, whether the best friends worked this out as well, or like if they were talking later and then it was sort of like
hooked up with this amazing person. Yeah. Oh, me too. What was your one's name? Oh, me too. Yeah. What did they look? Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
How do you think you'd feel, Ruby, if we hooked up with the same people.
The same people.
So the same two best friend boys.
We are the two best friend boys. I think probably a bonding experience, but also weird, real weird.
I don't know how much, if it was casual.
If
I
it
think
was casual,
I'd be fine with it.
I think it would be funny.
I'm going to throw that out there.
But if it was like my wife,
that would be having different chats.
I'm going to overshare because that's what I do. But
please.
Like me and one of my closest friends, we frequently get with the same people because we have like exactly the same type. So, you know, we go out and we'll both see a guy and we'll both be like, oh, we like that guy. And like, it's like we share and we're cool with that. Like, I've no issue. I don't really get jealous if I'm getting, you know, if I'm dating somebody and then one of my mates sweeps in, I'm like, wait, what the fuck are you doing? But if it's a very casual encounter, I'm like, yeah, I just had fun with him, off you have fun, off you go. And send it back afterwards.
Has it gotten to the point where if your friend's getting with someone, you're like, I'll probably like him?
I'll just wait. Just wait patiently here.
So yeah, I'm gonna read the next one. Strictly not a sex confession, but how do I break it to my new friend that I want to fuck them?
Break it like it's the worst news.
Sorry, can I just sit you down?
I'm
I have
so
something
sorry,
terrible but... to tell you. Please have a drink. Yeah. Have some hummus. That's how it's done in the lesbian world.
Very civil. I like it. I don't know what my answer is for this person. Just hey. Would you like to see my genitalia?
I mean, I like to use alcohol on myself to coax that confession out of me.
Yeah. I think just start flirting a little bit more every day. I'm a long game person.
Yeah.
I'm all about the long game. I'm
over like an 8-year period.
Yeah. I like cultivate that. Like start dropping hints about how sexy you are. Like, maybe not like that. But like just start flirting a little bit more every day until they're like, hey... Answer you, sir.
16 years in.
Exactly. And you
like
finally got
inception.
It. That's how it works.
I've done something weird before. I once wanted shocker. I once wanted to tell somebody that I liked them, but I was like too nervous about it. And I was like, oh God, I wish I would just like so drunk that I would just text them. And then I was like, wait a minute. So I just pretended to be drunk. Wasn't even drunk, but just like, spell your words wrong a bit.
That's fantastic.
Hey, just wanted to let you know that I fancy you a little bit. Sound drunk, and then if they turn around and go like, "Whoa, that's a bit weird," I'll be like, "Oh, sorry, I was just
wasted.
Just sat at home with my hummus."
Are you guys together now? Or?
No, didn't work. Didn't work. Ended badly. This next point is for you, Ruby.
The first time my partner and I had sex, it was in my mom's bed.
Ah, nice. I wonder if mum knew about this.
Yeah.
Well, did you just want to know why? Immediately, like, why? Like, where was your bed? why wasn't your bed available? Because I was going to be like, oh, it's okay. It's because you're like a teenager, so you live at your parents' house. And I was like, you have a bed. Have a bed. Doesn't make any sense.
And I hear so many people say this about having sex in the bed. I never did, I don't understand.
And also, the first time my partner and I—that's a long. That's like a relationship. That's not like a drunk one night thing. That's in a relationship, and like you know, like that means you see each other a while, and then you went. You know when we need to do it when mum's out.
We need to make it special.
Do it in her bed. She'll love it. We'll tell her to. Tomorrow.
Amazing.
Maybe mum just had like a really nice memory foam mattress, and you know, yeah, they wanted to make it special.
True.
You know,
that's true. That it does add something, doesn't it?
It some adds good a little pillows,
element of risk.
Well, all power to these people. Last one, Rachel, is going to be
a good one.
Just for you.
I am not all of mine. I am not sexually attracted to my new boyfriend, but I really like him. Really like him. I want to stay with him, but I'm just not feeling the sex element.
Oh, that's interesting.
Very interesting. Yeah.
Presumably, this person isn't asexual, and they're just not sexually attracted to this one specific person.
Yeah, it sounds like if you're not specifically attracted, sexually attracted to your new boyfriend.
Yeah, I find that really interesting, because I know for me, when I'm dating and relationships, you know, sex is such a big part of it, and you know, being sexually compatible with somebody is so important. But like, if it's not that important to you, I'm not sure if it matters that much. Like, if you're happy, then good for you. I just wonder if the boyfriend is. I feel like maybe you should have this conversation with him.
Yeah, absolutely.
In a nice way. Don't be like, I'm not sexually attracted to you, lol. Like, that's not going to come off well.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a new thing. But also, it can be really easy, like, when you really like someone as a friend and you first meet them, to kind of confuse that with, like, wanting to be with them.
Yeah, that's true.
That could also be.
But then if you're saying, I want to stay with him, then that's kind of your answer. Good,
yeah.
But it was like a double whammy of, like, I want to stay with him. But then you've also, like, sent this in, so that's obviously an issue for you at the same time.
Maybe the sexual feelings will come with time. Maybe
is that
I think talk about it and work it out like is the way to go.
Communication
or do it. Something wild,
do something just
go insane.
Do something really wild and see if that just shakes things up.
All right, don't listen to their advice. please
key
don't
his car.
This actually brings us to the end of the show. I want you to do your plug thing. I want you to tell all my listeners why they should stalk you, basically.
Fantastic. Well, follow. So we're Shelf. We're on Twitter and Facebook, and all of that is at Shelf Comedy. So get a load of us if you like us.
Yep. And if you like us and want to see more people, then you can check out at Lolward Comedy, also on Twitter, or come to our next night at the Albany, which is on October
25th. October 25th and November 29th. And it's a really great show, and we've got loads of fantastic guest comedians, and the whole team is wonderful. And if you liked us, you'll definitely like everyone.
Exactly.
There. Not everyone in the world.
Expertly done. I was so impressed with you.
Such seamless jumps between our voices as well. You can see we've been a double act for a while.
Well, you've been amazing guests. It's been an absolute pleasure to have you on the show.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for having us.
I'm going to play you out with a little bit of M&EK, Touched by You.
In the corner, I can see him standing there in the jacket and ripped jeans you used to wear. This is crazy, can't escape you. I just can't seem to erase you. So I undress just to cover up the pain, but it's useless. All the layers are the same. It's ironic that I do this. I don't miss you, but the truth is that he felt like you and he kissed like you. Yeah, he walks like you, talks like you, just like you. And for a second, it was like I was touched by you, touched by you. Ain't it funny how the thought of you now makes me numb? Yet you haunt me. I just wanna have some fun. Busy trying to replace you with this boy I can't relate to. In his bedroom, I can smell you on the sheets, your favorite perfume. I guess it brought back memories. I admit I'm going through it. Close my eyes, because the truth is that he looks like you and he tastes like you. Yeah, he walks like you, talks like you, just like you. And for a second, it was like I was touched by you, touched by you. You should know.
made me laugh.